Indeed, we're going to have open lines this hour and the next hour. Some of you will be beamed ahead to the 22nd century, where you will participate in an international talk show with the reincarnated version of me, Dexter Monterey. There's some information on Dexter on the coasttocoastam.com website. We'll have a little bit more for you at the end of this program. And then, of course, next hour, the rest of you will probably continue just listening to me with open lines. Here are a couple stories, by the way, to whet your appetite this hour. Strange one out of British Columbia. An elderly man spent at least 3 days in his vehicle on the side of a busy Canadian highway before anyone, including police who checked the car's license plate, realized that he was dead. A passing motorist discovered the man's body after deciding to check the vintage model car on the Trans-Canada Highway near British Columbia there on Sunday to see if it was for sale. The car's license number was checked by passing police on Friday and Saturday to make sure that it was not stolen, but the officers apparently did not stop to inspect it because it was not impeding traffic. Officials believe the 75-year-old man became ill, pulled off to the side of the road, which is used by hundreds of Vancouver-area motorists each day, and then they say he probably just slumped down in his seat, and he died. Email in from Dan in Houston. He says, George, after hearing the news story of the school in India teaching kids to write with both hands simultaneously, I was reminded of a high school classmate of mine. We were in the archaeological drafting class together, and he was in military training to be a cryptographer for the Navy. Well, one day he showed the class a little trick, as he called it. He went up to the chalkboard and, holding a piece of chalk in both hands, asked for a simple sentence. Murray had a little lamb or something like that. And he proceeded to write the sentence with both hands in Russian and Chinese simultaneously. Last word first, each word last letter first, and each individual letter was upside down and backwards. The teacher and I could only stare at each other in total disbelief at this student's so-called trick. That is, what a gift it is. Anyway, I shall be back in a second with open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to have a surprise for you, one of our guests on Wednesday. I'm not going to say anything about it until I get back to Los Angeles on Monday for you. Anyway, open lines for you this hour and the next hour, Dexter Monterey for the rest of you, for some of you. Let's pick up the phones by going east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Sandusky, Ohio.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah, one of your midnight people here. Hey, I was just calling to find out, whatever happened with David Icke? I thought you said you were going to give an update, and I never heard
David. David's website was, he thinks, hacked, but he's going to be a guest. I think it's the end of March. I don't have the exact date yet, but the last week of March, he's coming on the show.
Okay, great.
And he's a fascinating guy, isn't he?
Yeah. It was just kind of weird that you guys had gone to his website and that had happened. So I was kind of curious to what had happened to the guy. So.
As a matter of fact, I think producer Tom was the first one to notify David, I think, that he had a hacking problem, because he immediately jumped on the phone with his webmaster and they got it fixed eventually.
Right.
But he'll be on in a few weeks.
Okay. Well, great then.
Okay. I appreciate you being on the show. First time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George, I'm calling from near Cincinnati, Ohio, and I got a story to tell you.
All right, great.
I told your producer or whoever that if you ever had a meteorologist on, maybe they could talk about weather phenomena, because I'd like to understand what this was, because I'm kind of a skeptical person, but this was unusual. We were on our way to Florida on vacation. We were in Kentucky, and I had my ex-wife, my wife at the time, and my kids. And it was horrible storms the whole way. Tornadoes. We were listening to the radio. Every county we were in, there were tornado warnings.
Okay, you were dodging them all along, huh?
I was literally driving. This sounds crazy, but I was driving like 80 miles an hour trying to get through this stuff. Cars were pulled off everywhere because it was one of those deals where the wind was blowing things across the road. It was scary, and I was trying to make sure the kids and my wife didn't know that I was scared. But anyway, at one point, right in the middle of this, we're driving down the highway, huge storm, suddenly it was as if someone turned on a giant desk lamp above us, just a green, instead, it wasn't like lightning, but it must have been some type of lightning. A light flashed above us, but it was a green light, and it just completely lit up for like 10 seconds and then went off just like someone had turned a light on and turned a light off. And my wife just said to me, "What was that?" And I'm driving, and I'm scared, and I'm acting like I'm not scared, and I said, I have no idea. Her and I never talked about that again the entire time we were together, which was years, and I've always wondered if there's some strange, you know, because I hear about when tornadoes are in the atmosphere, the sky can turn a greenish tint.
Yes, absolutely. And if you have lightning there as well, you could get what you saw.
But that, it was just really odd the way, it wasn't like a flash of lightning. It was as though someone turned a lamp on, it stayed lit for like 10 seconds and then flipped off. And I completely understand that it could be a bizarre kind of lightning, but it was truly, it was the weirdest thing I've ever experienced.
What does your gut tell you? What do you think it was?
I think it was some type of weather phenomena, but I just can't imagine that. And it makes me wonder, does that mean we were literally at the tornado bearing right down on us at the moment, or I'm not sure. You know, I'm really not sure. I just think it was, again, I'm kind of skeptical about a lot of things you talk about on your show. I love your show, by the way.
Well, it makes you think. Wait till you hear next hour. Talk about thinking. It could be one of those strange hours, moments in radio history.
Well, anyway, that's my story. I thought some night would be good to have an open-minded meteorologist.
Well, you know what? Darn, because I just had one on a week or so ago. His name's Scott Stevens.
Really?
And he believes that hurricanes are manipulated, and he's got some incredible theories. He quit his job as a television meteorologist just so he could do all this full-time. The next time we have him on, I'll ask him your question.
Okay. Thanks,
all right,
George.
Okay, I appreciate you being the first-time caller. Let's go next to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
George?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Rob, and I'm calling from Heartland, Wisconsin, and I'm listening to you on XM Satellite Radio.
Well, welcome to the show, Rob.
Hey, this is my first time calling in, and I've been listening to Coast for ever since I purchased my first AM transmitter radio.
Good.
I'm joking. When I purchased a shortwave radio back in like 96, and I was able to pick it up then, and that's during the time with Art Bell.
Absolutely. What has got you compelled to call tonight?
Oh, I have a story about the Illuminati.
Truth. Oh, really?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is something I have to say. Do not Google the word Illuminati, or else something will happen to your computer. That's all, you know, this is true. Okay, so I hear this radio show talking about the Illuminati a lot, and I have some information, so I wanted to find out what the current websites are, because there are some websites which of a group of people, of various different groups of people that call themselves the Illuminati.
Okay.
So I Googled the word, and I got to one of those websites, and I looked around it, and it, you know, it was kind of like an elitist sort of gig. Anyways, and so it didn't impress me too much, and so I finished doing what I was doing on the computer, and I shut the thing off, and then the next day, I tried to turn on my computer, but it would not start. I had to reboot the system entirely.
they almost cooked you.
Yes, so I Googled the word Illuminati, and they got into my computer. Isn't that a story? And I wanted to ask you this real quick.
Well, let me also tell you, though, I have had guests on the air, Rob, who talk about the Illuminati, and I'm telling you, their phones will go dead during the interview. Strange things will happen to them. Just a few nights ago, as I was wrapping up my program, we were talking about alien abductions and strange things. And I was gone. My whole signal disappeared. That's never happened before. So, you know what? Who's to say that they aren't doing something?
Yeah, they are. I mean, the first
just to kind of let us know that they're listening.
You know, the first time I ever heard of that word is when I read a book called En Route to Global Occupation, and they kept talking about the Rothschilds and, you know, that family, and they say, and in the book there was a claim that they were connected to the Illuminati, and I don't even know who the Rothschilds are. I just know that they're a family that existed in American history.
It was an old-time family of very wealthy bankers. You know, they say part of the Illuminati includes very wealthy bankers and power brokers who are above government. They're above presidents. They're above, you know, just about...
They're the puppeteers.
Absolutely. The masters of all this stuff.
One more thing I wanted to ask you before we go on to your next call, and
sure.
I appreciate you taking my call. Second thing is, do you remember a guy who used to call up Art a lot? His name was JT. He was like...
JC.
Yes.
JC, you know, calls Art a lot. I've been hit with him twice. The last time he called me, he was looking for his, his girlfriend, Edna, who he claims ran off with a Coast to Coast Streamlink member on the back of a motorcycle after stealing all the money from his compound. And we have not heard from Edna or JC since.
That's not true.
Well, hold on. He called. JC did call and talk to a guest, and he went crazy over the guest. But go ahead now.
Okay. Is JC by any chance related to Brother Stair?
No, I think JC's in a class by himself.
Okay. Well, in response to last night's program, I wanted to add an insight. Did you know the ancient Greek word for God is theos?
Yes.
And it means, and in the classical Greek sense, it actually means uncreated energy. And I was thinking, you know, if the human brain is powered by energy, could the energy in the human brain be kind of like a sacramental connection to the uncreated energy of God, at least to the soul?
It might be. Hey, Robbie, thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. Have a great night.
Sure thing. You too. Very delightful person. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi there, George.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
I am listening to you on XM Satellite Radio. I'm a truck driver, and I have got to say that for the last 10 years, you and Art have definitely been a friend in the night.
Well, we're glad we're here with you. You know, Art's carried the torch, and I just picked it up just a little bit, but he had the torch going way before me.
Well, I've got a story to tell you about possible negative effects of remote viewing, and I've never heard anybody on your show talk about the possible negative aspects.
Negative? Now how? Tell me.
Well, my father is a physicist out at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and he had a colleague whose wife was a remote viewer. And she was actually, she studied under Sean Morton Brown. I believe that was, and I know the history with Art and all that stuff.
Sean David Morton.
There you go. And anyway, she was actually involved with the so-called, you know, the spaceship with Hale Bopp and so forth.
Oh, was she? Okay.
And it was very interesting because she would talk to my dad, you know, all the time about things that she had remote viewed and so forth. And she actually did a drawing of an object that was, you know, orbiting Hale Bopp. And I don't think it was widely known, but there actually was an object that was rotating around Hale Bopp. Now, it was not, you know, artificial. It was determined to be natural. But my dad had shown me a drawing of this, and he said, yeah, I went up to the JPL website after Hale Bopp had passed, and you could see there was something circling, and he took the picture from the website versus what she had drawn, and I mean, it was almost a dead-on match.
That's interesting. It is not unusual for comets to have some kind of companion or companions floating along with them. The fact that she would see it in a remote viewing session is pretty fascinating.
Oh, yes. It was pretty extraordinary. Well, she had gotten involved in remote viewing, and her husband was also a physicist out at Wright-Patt. She had started to lose touch with reality as a result. Well, you could kind of extrapolate this. Maybe it wasn't a direct result, but as a result of the remote viewing, she was kind of losing touch with reality. And it was very interesting because she was convinced that the military was coming after her because of her remote viewing skills.
Well, she might have been right.
Well, no, that's correct. In fact, her husband had told my dad, said, "Look, I can't explain this. People have been in our house. I'm trying to remember the exact situation, but she had remote viewed. I cannot remember what it was. But she had told my dad, and this had been probably 3-4 years ago. And she said, "Listen, I want to talk to you about this." And they were going to fly out. My father was out in Vegas at a conference. They were going to fly out to Vegas, and she wanted to discuss this with him. And she had all these pictures that she had remote viewed. Well, they leave to go to Vegas. They get to the other side, and all of this stuff had been taken out of their suitcase.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, and it was kind of the thinking was, well, if you're a remote viewer, there are no secrets anymore. So from the military standpoint, you're either with us or you're against us.
Well, they have tried and they've experimented, and I'm not sure if they've stopped, to tell you the truth, John. Now, how's the woman? Is she okay?
Well, what eventually happened to her is she had become so paranoid and was convinced that there were being, you know, psychic attacks lodged against her. In fact, at one point, she accused my father of trying to, you know, and it just way out stuff. And
it got strange, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and she eventually ended up getting divorced. She'd been in a mental hospital 2 or 3 times, in and out, and just never had been right after that. And, you know, that might be something that people want to consider before they, you know, get into, you know, there's just a reality shift when you're able to do the remote viewing.
Well, you know what? You are right, because when you start dabbling with your mind like that, anything could happen. Thanks for the call. International Line, where are you calling from?
My name's Alan. I'm calling from Calgary, Alberta.
Hi, Alan. What's on your mind?
Well, actually, I'm a little bit concerned. You remember in New York and in London and whatnot, right before the terrorist attacks occurred, there was a meeting of some sort of groups, like the firefighters, police in London. And it was the police for sure.
And well, we know in London they had an exercise that day.
Exactly, the exercises.
Yeah.
Search and rescue teams from across Canada are gathering in Calgary, Alberta, over the next week, I believe, to perform some exercises. It was on the news here today, and on the news they said that one of the tests was for a possible terror attack.
Interesting.
Yes, and if you remember,
all right,
on the list, Al-Qaeda said that Canada was on there.
Yeah, they did put Canada on there. Well, I tell you what, let's monitor that. And exactly when is this exercise going to be again?
Not sure, but it's search and rescue teams from across Canada. They're gathering in Calgary for a conference and some exercises.
But is it soon?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll monitor that as well. Alan, you monitor that for us as well. We'll be back. What a fast hour already. We've still got a half hour of open lines to go. If you need to email me, that's always the simple way to get a message to me. That's george@coast2to, coasttocoastam.com. I'll be back in just a second on Coast to Coast AM. Heads back to Los Angeles on Monday. I'll be there for 3 weeks, and it's right back to St. Louis. My son's going to get married. He's going to marry his high school sweetheart. He's 24 now, and she's 23, and they're all excited about that. It's kind of neat, isn't it? After Dark newsletter, where I might put pictures of the wedding in there. No, I'm not going to do that. But it's available to you now, where you get 14 issues for the price of 12. Well worth it. It's a great deal. You can call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. Or you can go online at coasttocoastam.com. Now, those of you who will be beamed along to the 22nd century to listen to Dexter Monterey next hour, you let your imagination and your mind run wild and make a report back to me on Fast Blasts, maybe on Monday. if you come back. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Oh, hi.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Pacific Beach, specifically, San Diego.
All right, what's on your mind? Hi.
Well, you know, I hear people, I've listened to your show for a few months with much interest because it follows with some reading I've been doing, but I keep hearing the term remote viewing. What the heck is that?
Remote viewing is the ability to let your mind travel into various regions of this universe or even this planet to see things. There are some remote viewers, for example, who help police departments search for missing children or to solve crimes. The U.S. government years ago had a special group of remote viewers. They were trying to combat the Soviet Union at the time, and they wanted to see if remote viewing could find certain things. It's a gift. There are some remote viewers now who are pretty darn good at what they do. There's some others who just aren't. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's documented in the fact that the good ones have a very high accuracy rate. They've been tested, and nobody gets it right all the time. But the good ones have an uncanny ability to see things at a higher percent than what would normally be the norm.
Wonder what enables them to use their brain.
I think we all have this ability to do it. There's no question in my mind that we can do it if you're trained properly or if you're in a more relaxed state. I've used it sometimes, and it's been very effective.
Well, you know, many years ago, I literally had my two-year-old daughter. That's the closest I can figure is that she just read my mind.
While she was a two-year-old?
Yes, it was the most amazing thing, and she vocalized what was in my mind. Now, you know, there's a connection to your child that, you know, people don't really understand. But it was so intense and so immediate that I couldn't deny. But I've always been a questioner, and I've always been open-minded to things.
We've got to turn you into a remote viewer.
Oh, my God. No, don't mess up my mind. It's already...
What would you do? If you had the gift, what would you use it for?
What would I use it for? I think I would do police work. Yeah.
Would you try to travel to other planets, maybe, just to see what was going on in the universe?
George, you're just too far out in space in that for me right now.
All right.
Too stuck on the Earth, I guess.
Stick with the police work.
I've read a lot of David Icke's books, and I've read Fingerprints of the Gods by Graham Hancock. And, you know, it's like two parts of my mind are working at the same time. One is extremely skeptical. No, that can't be. That's magical thinking, of course, that Carl Sagan warned against in his book, The Demon-Haunted World.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other side, you know, I can't deny the things that happen.
There's nothing wrong with having that skeptic side of you. I think that's refreshing. That's very healthy to question things. I do it all the time myself.
Well,
nothing wrong with it at all.
I enjoy your show, and it's kept me up many a night. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. You know, by the way, as we get close to March 13th, which is next week, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. My, oh, my. Didn't Dr. Turi say something about March 13th? I think he did. Something major, something significant. Time to get him back for updates. Again, you talk about accuracy of psychics. He's been pretty accurate, I think. Pretty accurate. I know, you know, he's not 100%. He was for a while. And then I think his November predictions, at least the way I see it, fell by the wayside. He contends, by the way, that what was supposed to happen was stopped. Thwarted. And so he contends his accuracy rate is still high. Who would know? But nonetheless, he said March 13th, you can expect something pretty big around that time period. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hey, is this George?
Yes, sure is.
Hey, George. This is Paul in Houston. And it's going to sound weird, but this is the first thing that's ever happened to me. You know, you talk about you stare into mirrors and you're supposed to see another dimension and stuff like that. Well, I've never tried it, so I went ahead and tried it. Well, first, let me get you up to speed. I've had paranormal activity for quite a while. We've had people come here and cleanse the house and all that. We've got video and footage out there, you know what. But this is weird, and they suggested that I sit in front of the mirror and light white candles around and just leave one light on in the hall and just stare there and try
All right.
to meditate. Well, I stood there, and I sat there for 20, 40 minutes, whatever, meditated, you know, and I moved around because my back, whatever, and I thought it was nothing, you know. And then when I looked back at the tape, what I saw, when I moved, my image in the mirror didn't move.
No.
And I am not lying to you. It did not move. And I was like, well, what? And I'm thinking, well, do I need to see a doctor? Am I seeing things? You know, what's going on? Or because I've had weird stuff here with paranormal activity. I mean, things would fly off the wall. I'd hear voices. There would be markings on the wall that, you know, that shouldn't have been there. And I thought it was another one of those games. And so the researchers came, and they took the video, and they ran it through their machine and looked for editing and looked for all that stuff, and they kept it. And they've asked for my permission. I signed the release over to them, and they now own it, but I can still obtain a copy of it. But they're using it for their investigation.
What if they told you about this?
They have no idea. I've spoke to a psychic. I've spoke to a shaman. I've even showed it to a priest, and there's nothing. No one can explain other than saying that it's negative.
So you're there meditating for about 40 minutes. Staring in the mirror. You get up and move around for whatever reason.
I did not get up out of the chair. I sat in the chair because my back hurts. And you know.
Okay, so you just shifted yourself around.
I shifted myself. I, you know, rubbed my shoulder, moved around, looked around. I'm thinking, this is BS. Come on. I mean, there's got to be something more to this. And then, you know, it was getting late. I said, I want to go to bed because it was 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I went to bed, woke up in the morning because it was a Saturday. Woke up in the morning and, you know, I had my coffee, put in the tape to see if I saw anything. Cause usually I put in tapes of to see if I see orbs or whatever in the middle of the night because they have their cameras here. And I put the tape in. I'm like, nothing. Fast forward. And I'm like, wait. You know, I had to go back and look again.
Well, and there's verification on both the mirror and you shifting around at the same time?
I moved, but my image in the mirror didn't. In fact, my head was stuck just looking at myself, and I had a weird image of a grin or whatever. That I was like, it was me, but then again, it wasn't me, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, Paul, you've got to be careful that something doesn't come through the mirror like some kind of doorway or portal.
Can that happen?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it can. I mean, I've never tried the mirror routine. I mean, you're talking to a guy who doesn't like Ouija boards, for crying out loud.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, I know that.
You got to be careful.
That is a doorway of a lot of things, and I've heard more negative than positive. But if it was negative, then why would they suggest that I do it in order to clear my house?
Maybe they were trying to trick you. I just saw a movie just yesterday of some old teacher. This is a movie now. This is not a documentary or anything. And he tricked his students into opening up a portal, and all kinds of evil demons came through. So you better check into the people who made that recommendation. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Samantha from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Samantha. What's going on in Phoenix?
Ooh, great many of things. This place has a lot of energy, I have to tell you. I have to tell you about something that happened real quick. I'm a security guard. I work from 6 in the evening to 6 in the morning over here. And a couple nights ago, I was taking my break, and I was just chilling out, and I was really tired, so I was laying down, and I fell asleep, and I had my alarm set. And I was sleeping, and in my dream, I saw the same walk out of a house. It was right underneath a street light, and it was a person, you know, but it was total blackness, and it was a person. And I saw it walk up to my truck and start to grab my leg because I had the window rolled down. Well, I woke up startled, and I stood, you know, sat up straight in the vehicle, and I looked in my side mirror of my vehicle, and I saw this thing walking towards me. Well, I talked to my father, who I work with, who's also a security guard, and he told me that it's a shadow person.
Yes, it probably was.
So, and I've seen quite a few of them, and I see this one pretty much like every night, and he's always standing in the garage of this house, and it's a construction site, you know, where we're working at. These houses are in construction, and I see him all the time standing in the garage or in an upstairs window. I've seen actually a group of them in a park, and I'll be, you know, patrolling the park, and I'll hear mumblings and talkings and jittering, and I'll get my light out, and I'll go across the park, and I can see them for a couple seconds, and all of a sudden they're gone, and there's like a half a dozen of them, but I can still hear them talking for a while.
What do you so, do you hear anything specifically?
Specifically, no, it's just kind of like, you know, you can hear them talking, but it's like at a low volume, so you don't know exactly what they're saying. It's whispers.
How do you know they're not talking about you?
I don't know. But, you know, this is, you know, I've always kind of, you know, I've seen ghosts, you know, my great grandfather was around for years after he died. You know, hell, he taught me poker and he was a ghost. But, you know, I've always seen things, but I've never dealt with one of these things. And I don't know exactly what they are, you know, or how to deal with them. People have told me that they're interdimensional beings or they could be spirits. But I don't get the feeling that this is something that has ever lived before.
Well, because so many people are seeing these entities, I'm beginning to think that they may be dimensional as well, and that some of them may not be aware that they're in our dimension. You see them because they're here, but I'm not sure they realize they're here. And I haven't really, other than one or two episodes, I haven't heard them attacking people at all. Not to be confused with evil demons, by the way. Let's go to our wild card line. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yeah, hi.
This is Carl from Tucson. Nice. I'm a truck driver. I need to see if you could help me break my bad luck.
You want me to help you break your bad luck?
Yeah,
all right.
See if you can give me some ideas on what to do or whatever. I mean, I pray daily. I meditate a lot. I try to keep a positive attitude, but since the first of the year, it seems like everything's out to get me.
Like you got a cloud over your head, huh, Carl?
Yeah. After the first of the year, we had a grandbaby that was born in November. He developed some respiratory problems, got clear of that, developed stomach problems, had to go for surgery for that. Then I've started having problems with my stomach. Had problems with that, had to go to the doctor, get medicine, the tube, you know, the light ran down my throat, see, you know, what I had wrong with me. My son and daughter wrecked into each other in my car. He wrecked into her, and she was in my car. My wife and I drive a truck, and we were out in California and Ontario, and at a hotel where we'd spent many times, you know, spent the night there.
Sure. It
got like an 8-foot fence around the whole place there, and my truck got broke into, and about $2,000 worth of stuff took out of it.
Carl, you've had some rotten luck.
Yeah, you know, since the first of the year, you know.
Have you always
my son
bad
got
luck?
Divorced, you know.
Sounds like you're just having a bad run.
A totally bad run. You know, and the other night, you know, my wife probably killed me for telling you this, but she flushed $48 down the toilet.
Now, how in the heck do you flush $48 down the toilet?
Well, she went in the restroom at a truck stop and used the restroom, flushed the toilet, stood up, and the money was in the end of her pocket. She straightened her pants. The toilet swirling already went straight in the middle and down through the toilet. $48.
Oh, gone. My gosh. Now, see, now it's starting to cost you money, too.
Yeah.
How do you change that?
I don't know.
Have you always had bad luck?
No, not really. You
just
know, I mean,
started.
Yeah, you know, well, we've had, you know, I mean, we've had bad luck over the years.
That's called life, right?
Right. But this is just, I mean, since the first of the year, it's just one thing after another, you know. And
who put a curse on you, Carl?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Anybody out to get you for any reason?
Not that I know of. I think I'm a fairly likable guy.
or is there anybody out to get one of your family members? And, you know, maybe the curse has been put on the family because of something they might have done.
I don't know. You know, the only thing, you know.
You sound like a positive person.
Yeah, I try to stay positive. It's like I told my dispatcher, you know, I mean, getting, you know, George, I mean, my stomach hurt so bad at times that I would have to pull over and sit for 2 or 3 hours, you know, and just, I mean, roll in the bunk. I would hurt that bad, you know.
Have you been, besides some general medicine, have you been x-rayed?
Yeah, I've had x-rays, had the sonogram, had the tube, the light run down my throat, you know, and all that.
The esophagus test and all that. Yeah, uh-huh. Good. So that's all, you know, okay.
Yeah, it's well, he put me on the little purple pill, you know, to try to take care of the ulcers and stuff that I have. They're just superficial, but it's more the hernia, you know, the hiangular hernia or whatever you call it.
Well, you know what? If you have ulcers, does this doctor know that some ulcers are caused by bacteria? And that what you need is antibiotics, not just...
Yeah, he'd done a biopsy there, too, you know, to check and make sure. But there was no, nothing, you know, showed up on it. So, you know, it's I think it's more just a, especially since the first year, it's just more my nerves, you know.
Well, you know what? The only thing I could recommend at this time is somehow for all of you just to start thinking a little more positive. You know, it's easier said than done, but... You've got to change. You've got negativity surrounding your family, and you got to get rid of it somehow. And the only way I think you can is just to keep fighting with this great outlook on life, and maybe eventually you're going to overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best.
Well, I know, too, you know, we've had in the past, of course, we still have them now, we have ghosts in our house. I know that. And I have prayed hard about getting rid of them. I don't know if the negative energy from them came to our family or what, you know.
Well, something did.
I mean, I stood one night, my wife and I did, you know, and just said, okay, look, you know, just like you say on your show, you know, look, okay, we've had enough of this, you know, quit playing the tricks, quit putting the lights on and off, you know, TVs on and off, things like that. Just go away. You know, we've had enough of it, you know. And I don't know. I don't know if they, you know, transferred that energy to my life or what.
All right. We'll keep battling. Now, Carl, you may be one of the fortunate numbers here to be beamed into the 22nd century next hour.
Okay.
So make sure you're listening, because if you are and you get up there, it's going to be a fascinating trip. Wouldn't you like to figure out what the 22nd century is going to be like?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Well, you may be one of them. So you stick with us. And in terms of the advice on the negativity that's surrounding you and the bad luck, just keep pounding away at it. You know, some of it is called life, like I said. I mean, we are dealt some cards and you got to play with them. But by and large, just keep fighting the good fight. Now, in just a moment, somehow some of you will hear me, but the rest of you will hear Dexter Monterey, who is me reincarnated in the 22nd century. So if you're lucky enough to go in there and listen to him, tell me, by the way, next week, if you like him or not, have some fun and figure out what life is like in the 22nd century.